Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Well, I'm going to introduce Tori Nickerson to you guys. Tori was a college student here at University of Florida, I don't know how long ago, but he probably finished quicker than I finished college. And he moved back to Brazil, got married about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, somewhere around three or four. And they don't count time in Brazil that way. He can get away with that. But he works with every group that comes from Florida Baptist Convention churches to Brazil, wherever they're serving in Brazil. So he has a big territory, but he will work with our group again come spring break. And he's going to come and share a word from the Lord tonight.
Thank you very much, Zach. Good evening. This is not a place I'm used to being. I'm used to being out there, not up here. It is a joy to be back at North Central, and it is a joy to be able to speak with you tonight. One of the reasons it's such a joy to be back is to see all the old faces and all the people I knew when I was here. But it's also a joy to see all the new faces because I see how you guys are growing. And that is an exciting thing to see, is how you guys are growing, not only in numbers, but also in the grace of God. And I just pray that you guys will continue to grow in this way. This morning, you guys got to hear my father speak, and he's here again tonight along with my grandmother and my mom and my wife, and of course, my sister and my brother-in-law are always here, and I have absolutely no pressure tonight whatsoever. One of the reasons that I love to come to North Central is because of the impact that you guys have had on my life. I can honestly say that I would not be where I am today if it was not for this church. The people here are special people, and you guys have touched my life in a way, and you have been people that have shaped my life in such a way that I am just grateful for all that you have done. Because of you, I am serving the way I'm serving God now. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to be able to express my gratitude to you and how grateful I am just to be a part of this wonderful family. Tonight, I want to talk with you guys a little bit about the harvest field. This morning, you heard about God's calling and hearing the word of hearing God speaking and hearing the word of God. And tonight, I want to talk with you about God's harvest field, which is another hot topic for missionaries to talk about. But it is also something that weighs heavily on my heart. The Bible talks about the harvest field in a lot of different places. But tonight, I'm going to be focusing on John chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 32 through 38. And I'm going to be talking about four things that we need to know about the harvest field. Four very important things. Now, John chapter 4, it opens up with Jesus talking with the woman at the well. He has left Judea. He's going on his way to Galilee. And to get to Galilee, he has to go through Samaria. And while he's going to Samaria, he stops in the community. I think it's called Sychar. I don't know how to pronounce that in English. But he stops there. He's tired and he's hot and he wants to rest. So he stops at the well and his disciples go on into town to buy some food. And while he's there at that well, this woman appears or comes up to draw water from the well. And they begin to have a conversation. And in this conversation, Jesus talks to her about living water. And he talks to her about who he is. And through this conversation, Jesus reveals God to this woman. He reveals who God is and shows this woman how much she needs God. And it changes her life. In a heartbeat, in an instant, her life is changed. And she rushes back to the village to tell everybody about this wonderful man, this person who knew everything about her life, and rushes back there to tell them about this person who has changed her life. And as she's doing that, disciples, they return, and they start to beg Jesus. They say, Jesus, you know, why don't you eat something? You know, I know you're hot. I'm sure they're thinking he's hot, he's tired, he needs something to eat. You know, we've been walking for a long time. And Jesus says something very interesting to them in verse 32. We're going to look at verses 32, and we're also going to look at verses 32 through 34. That's what we're going to look at. And Jesus responded to them. He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'm going to look at two things in this passage first. First off, I want you to see the passion of God within this passage. God is very passionate about the harvest field. It is his will, his desire to finish his work. And God's work, as we continue to read, you'll see, is the harvest field. It is revealing himself to those who do not know him. It is showing people that there is hope, that there is a way for salvation. And that is God's passion. And you can see it through the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, everything God does is for the purpose of revealing himself to those who do not know him. To express himself and let people see who he is and respond to him so that he may be glorified. That is God's will. That is his desire. And he is very passionate about that. I also want you to notice how passionate Jesus is about that. Jesus is very passionate about that. Jesus is very passionate about God. Now, this word passionate, I hear this word a lot in Portuguese. The word is apaixonado in Portuguese. And it's really a mixture of being in love with passion all kind of mixed together. And, you know, there's not a real clear definition. But apaixonado, when you see it in the Christian circles, when they're talking about God, you know, you hear a lot about it in the songs and the prayers there and the sermons that people are preaching, and it's always has to do about emotion and what it is to be in that emotional focus when you come to worship on church, and it's very focused on that. But I think being passionate for God goes much further than just what you're feeling. I think if you're truly going to be passionate for God, then you have to be passionate about the things that God is passionate about. Let me give you an example. I hate to shop. I mean, I just loathe it. If there's one thing I hate more, it's maybe washing dishes, but shopping is really way up there. I just cannot stand to shop. When I was in college, I don't think I went to the mall maybe once, and I was there for about 5 minutes. I knew what I wanted. I got it, and I got out. It's something I've never enjoyed doing, but I have to confess, I love to shop with my wife. Aww. I love to shop with my wife because she loves to shop. She is passionate about shopping. In fact, I realized once we got here that if I wanted to see my wife while we're here in the States, that I better be going to stores with her because otherwise I'm not going to see her. So I love to go shopping with my wife because that is something that interests her. And if I'm going to be interested in my wife, I need to be interested in the things that my wife is interested in. And if I want to be with my wife, then I need to be involved with the things that she is involved in. In the same way, if we're going to be passionate about God, if we're going to love God, then we need to love the things that God loves. We need to be passionate about the things that God is passionate about. And we need to be involved in the things that God is involved in. And God is involved in the harvest field. Jesus was so passionate about the work of God that to him it was a necessity of life. You know, he said, I have food that you do not know about. Jesus, as far as Jesus was concerned, he could not live unless he was working in the harvest field. There was no life if he was not doing the Father's will. If we're going to be passionate about God, we have to be passionate about the harvest field. And the more passionate we become about God's work, the more we're going to realize how there truly is no life outside of that. So the first thing we need to know about the harvest field, we need to be passionate about the harvest field because God is passionate about the harvest field. Jesus goes on to talk a little bit more, and in the following verses, he's talking even more about the harvest field, and he says in verse 35, let's look at just 35 for now, he says, do you not say four months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Now, to talk about this verse, I have to talk about my mother-in-law. I have to pick on her a little bit. In fact, a person once told me that every good sermon has to have at least one joke about your mother-in-law. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yeah.
I'm joking. Michael never told me that, and I'm sure he would never laugh at mother-in-law jokes. But I do have to pick on my mother-in-law today, and since my wife is here, and I know that I might get some glares, I have to brag on her first, and I have to talk about what a wonderful woman my mother-in-law is, because she really is. In fact, I think I have probably the best mother-in-law a person can have. She's giving and caring and kind and very generous, and she loves me like an own son, and my wife is already crying back there. That's how much she loves her. I have to say, maybe the only person who has a better mother-in-law than me is maybe my wife. Isn't that right, Michael? Okay. But my mother-in-law, she, like every person, nobody's perfect. One of the things that she has is kind of a quirk. When she gets excited, she starts to talk, and she starts to talk very fast, and she doesn't listen to what's going on around her, doesn't pay much attention, and she will begin repeating what she's saying over and over again. Well, the day that we left for Brazil, my mother-in-law was watching TV in the morning, and she saw on the news this horrible thing that happened. A son had killed his own father. He was a drug addict, and he had asked his father for a few dollars, and his father didn't give it to him, so he killed it. It was horrible. And my mother-in-law, she could not understand why would this happen? How horrible is this? How could this happen? You know, and later on the day, we got on the plane, and we flew to Manaus, and while we were on the plane, there was an earthquake in the Caribbean. And it was such a strong earthquake that we felt it in Boa Vista. Now, there has never been an earthquake in Boa Vista, ever. As long as anybody can remember, there has never been an earthquake in Boa Vista. And my mother-in-law is climbing the stairs of the house that she's living in, and she feels something shake, and she's like, is something wrong with my legs? What was that? And so she runs downstairs, and she asks, you know, my wife's grandmother, you know, what was that? Did you feel something shaking? And my wife's grandmother, she's 95 years old, she said, no, it was just the wind shaking the window panes. And so my mother-in-law, she looks outside the window, and she sees all these people pouring out of the office buildings. And she's like, wow, something really must be going on. So she, you know, she leaves the house, and she goes over, and there's this huge crowd, and people are, you know, like in hysterics crying because they've never experienced any kind of earthquake, and even though it was just a little bit of shaking, to them it was very traumatic. And they didn't know what was going on. So she goes up and asks, you know, what happened? And they said it was an earthquake. And something clicked in my mother-in-law's mind. And she says, I knew it, it's the end of the world. Son is turning against father, there's earthquakes in Roraima, this is the end of the world. You need to repent and come to Jesus now, because otherwise you may not get another chance. And she starts repeating this and talking very loud and excited, and everybody's looking at her like, this woman is crazy. And when I heard the story, I thought, my mother-in-law is crazy. But you know what I think? I think God wishes that every Christian would be willing to make a fool of himself because of the urgency he feels for the gospel. Because my mother-in-law, in that instant, the knowledge she had in her head that Jesus can come back at any minute became a reality in her heart. And the first thought she had was, these people need Jesus. These people need Jesus. God feels a great urgency for the harvest field. It's not 4 months from now. It's right now. God has a harvest prepared in the hearts of each and every person that you know. Your school teachers, your friends at school, your parents, your grandparents, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your coworkers, your bosses, your supervisors, your teacher's aides. God has a harvest prepared for every single person you know. He is searching for them. He is asking them and drawing them close. He is preparing this harvest, and he is asking you to pick the fruit. We need to feel an urgency because God feels an urgency for the harvest. It's not 4 months from now. It's today. It's happening now. And wouldn't it be a sad thing to see that fruit rot on the vine rather than see it picked? The harvest field is happening all around us. There is a great harvest happening in Brazil, and I am so happy that this church is taking part in that harvest. but it is also happening here right now in our lives. So the first point is we need to be passionate about the harvest field because God is passionate. And we need to feel an urgency for the harvest field because God feels an urgency. Verses 36 through 37, Jesus continues to talk more, and he goes on saying this. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. As you go on reading in verse 38, you'll find out that the reaper is really us. It's the people that, it's the Christians, the children of God. And the last mission trip that I was a part of this year was in October. It was with Jeff Ray's church, Jones Road Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And we went to a little town called Itasema. And it's a very small place. I'm not even sure how many people live there, maybe 5,000 at the most. It's a farming community, so very small. But we went there because it had a very good church, and the pastor there was excited, and the church was starting to grow, and we wanted to be a part of that. And it really was a wonderful trip. We saw, I think, close to 300 people come to know Christ on that trip alone. And it was just an amazing time to really see how people were receptive to God's love. One of the last things I remember that happened on that trip was a woman came up, a woman that we had visited during that week, and she came up and started talking to me, and this is something I shared with the whole group. She said, everybody in this community is talking about this American team. And everybody is talking about the message that they are bringing. That it is not a message of destruction or a message of hate, but that it is a message of love and hope. And everybody is talking about what a wonderful message this American team is bringing. And I have to tell you that I would not trade that for all the money in the world. We have received our wages if we are working in the harvest field. We receive them now. It is the joy of seeing people come to Christ. Those that are lost and have now been found, those that were dying but now have life, there is no greater joy. And it goes on to talk about the sower and the reaper being glad together. And I tell you that when you are a part of God's work in the harvest field, that you will rejoice with your brother and sister, and that you will rejoice with God in heaven because of what is happening. It is a wonderful, wonderful experience. My first point. What's my first point? Passion. We have to be passionate about the harvest field because God is passionate about the harvest field. Second point, we have to be urgent. Feel an urgency for the harvest field because God feels that urgency. And there is no greater wage that we can earn than what we earn while working in the harvest field. Now I want to read verse 38. This is, to me, one of the key verses in the whole passage. He goes on saying, this is how he wraps it up. He says, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. You know, there is a price for working in the harvest field. It's not free. You have to pay a price. There is a sacrifice that has to be made. And the reason that there is a price, that there is a sacrifice for working in the harvest field is because you have to put others first. It is impossible to lead people to Christ if you are first. You have to put God first and then everybody else, and you have to put yourself last. And in a practical sense, when thinking about this, I see people who have sacrificed a lot for working in the harvest field. They have given up much. People who have settled with a lower standard of living for the sake of the gospel. They are willing to say no to those high-paying jobs and go to places where truthfully, it's not very pleasant to live because of the love that they have for that people group. I have seen people who have moved far away from their friends and their family for the sake of the gospel in that harvest field that they feel called to. There are people who have faced rejection from friends and family because of the love they have for the harvest field and the passion that they have that God has given them. I have seen people belittled and ridiculed because of that passion that they have to see others come to know Christ. And there are those that face persecution and torture and imprisonment because of this passion that they have to tell others about Christ. And then there are even those that face death, even today, because of that passion they have to tell others of Christ. There is a price to be paid. If we truly want to be involved with God's work, then we have to be willing to give up certain things. We have to be willing to give our time, our money, our energy, ourselves to the work. There's a price to be paid. But you want to know the truth? It doesn't compare to the price that God paid. We have the easy job. We're working, we're reaping stuff that we did not even work for. God has done the hard part. He's the one who faced the cross for us. It is His Holy Spirit that convinces the person that they need a Savior. And it is God that does the saving. All we have to do is live our lives like we're saved and share Jesus. Christ, He did the hard part. So, the price that we pay really matters very little and is worth very little compared to the price that God paid. What do we need to know about the harvest field? We need to know that we need to be passionate about the harvest field because God is passionate about the harvest field. We need to know that we need to have an urgency for the harvest field because God has that urgency. And we need to know that there are wages that we receive for working in the harvest field, the joy of seeing people come to Christ. And while there is a price to be paid, we need to be willing to make the sacrifice because God's sacrifice was much greater. And I want to invite you tonight, if you are here and you say, I know that I am not involved in God's harvest. I may be doing a lot of other things right, but I have never made that commitment to be involved in His harvest. I want to challenge you tonight to make that commitment, to say, God, I want to be a part of Your work. I want to be passionate for You, and I want to be passionate about the things that You are passionate about. And so in a minute, I'm going to be inviting Zach to come up here or to come down here to the center. And if you want to make that commitment and say, I really want to let everybody know that I want to make this change, that I want to make this commitment to become passionate about the harvest field and to really become more involved in God's work, then I would invite you to come forward and to pray with Zach and to talk with Zach. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of us here are people who are already church members or have been coming here a while, but there may be some of you tonight who have never made a decision for Christ. You maybe have heard the story of Jesus, why He came to earth, and how He died on the cross and rose again, but you personally have never placed your faith in Him. And I want to invite you today to come and give your life to Him. I want you to know that God has paid the greatest price possible to save you because He loves you and He wants you to be with Him. So I would like to invite you to do that as well. Before I ask Zach to come forward, I'd like to pray and we can have a song. Lord, I do thank You for Your wonderful work that You do here. I thank You that You have loved us enough, not only to save us, but that You have loved us enough to ask us to be involved within Your work. And Lord, what a blessing it is, truly, Lord, to be able to serve You and to work alongside You, Lord, and rejoice with You to see what a wonderful thing it is to have souls saved and lives changed, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here tonight who does not know You, they will make a decision tonight to say, I want to know you, Lord. I want Jesus. Maybe he doesn't understand everything, Lord, but I pray that he will say, what I understand is enough, and I want that Jesus in my life. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who is not committed like they should be and feels that they need to just take a step back and say, Lord, I know I'm not as involved as I should be. I pray that they will do that tonight. They will not let fear get in the way or nervousness or anything like that, Lord, but they can say, I want to do this. I want to be committed to your work, Lord, because I want to be passionate about you. And Lord, I do thank you for all that you are and all that you have done. And it is your name that we pray. Amen.
See, if I could have our deacons come forward at this time, we're going to continue to worship through our giving. If y'all will pray with me. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you are passionate about the harvest field. And Father, how we don't have to go to Brazil, but Father, but just to look outside these doors to see where our harvest field is. And so, Father, I do pray that God, tonight, that maybe you've placed names or faces in our hearts and in our minds of people that we need to share with. Because, God, we know that you're passionate about them. And so, Father, I pray that the sacrifice for us would be a sacrifice of our pride and our desires and our wants that sometimes stand in the way of us having the courage, like Tori's mother-in-law, just to say what is in our hearts to people. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but Father, we thank you so much that you faced the uncomfortableness of the cross so that we could have salvation. And Father, during this time as we continue to give, we just pray that you would bless the tithes and the offerings that we bring to you for your glory and for your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.